Morning. The Bible reading this morning comes from 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 27. You can find that on page 1208 of your church Bibles. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. As you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? Is it the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See, what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised to us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him.
I can assure you this morning I have showered, so that's good. I feel much better. What we're going to do today is keep your Bibles open there. We will turn to two passages in John's Gospel as well, so just be ready for that a little bit as we get a little further. But for now, I'll pray, so let's do that. Father, this morning may you grant us true confidence. Confidence not in our abilities or our good works or our Christian heritage, but rather a confidence that we know you and know the hope of eternal life because we anchor ourselves to your Son, Jesus. Amen. We needed to drop anchor because without it there was no way of stopping us from heading out into the open sea. We needed to remain. We needed to stay. We needed to be in the safety that the bay provided. Though it might have seemed exciting to go out into the open sea, our treacherous waters lay out there. If we were to pull up anchor and cast out into the big blue, we could be met by a whole range of issues, not less finding ourselves out of depth and on the verge of shipwreck. Being the experienced sailor that my uncle was, he knew we needed to anchor. He knew that we needed to remain. He knew that there was safety if we stayed within the bay. Well, today John knows all too well the dangers of a shipwreck because he himself has seen it firsthand. For as he addresses those inside the church about the dangers of casting off from Jesus, because he has seen some, those from among his own number who have looked out to life beyond Christ and have gone, and in so doing have shipwrecked their faith. They left the safety and the security of being in Christ and have gone out to deny him. And John says, disaster. Certainly sounds like a serious warning, and it was. John knew the danger of having been in the safe waters of Christian fellowship. To these who have been part of a church, those that have known the security of clinging to Christ, but then have cast off and denied him. And yet at the same time, they say they sail for God. They still have God's flag flying on the back of their ship, at least in their mind. But John screams out the warning, stay, remain, anchor in Christ. And yet as we hear this warning, as he starts talking about Antichrist and the last hour, it gets us thinking this sounds like fiction. Sounds like pirates and battles on the open sea. Seems a long, long way from us. It seems like once upon a time. Maybe for us, you know, it's less likely that those from among our number are going to cast off and follow some foreign Christ, follow some Da Vinci Code sort of Jesus. And yet that drift, that slow drift away from Christ, sadly, it's not a fairy tale, but has been a constant pattern even in the life of our church at Southern Cross. As people who have once said they cherished Christ have slowly drifted away from him. You know, they never woke up one morning and said, today's the day. Today is the day I pull up anchor and I set away from Christ. The drift happens so slowly. Not through one huge decision, but through hundreds, through thousands of little compromises. The drift is so slow. It is so slow, they don't even notice it. And by the time we realise it, they may have passed out through Sydney Heads and they're off into open water. So John pleads with his dear children. He says, don't cast off from Christ. Don't flee the confidence that comes from being anchored to Christ. Be careful of the drift. Ensure that Christ remains a wonder for you. Don't get bored of Christ. Cherish him. Cling to him. Know the confidence of being in him. Anchor yourself to him. Remain in him. Well, let's see. How did it happen? How did those from amongst their number, those that sat like us with the Word of God open today, how did they make that fatal mistake and so confidently head away from Christ? If you're sailing around the southern parts of Tassie, you want to go through, there's some quieter channels in sort of inland to get to Maria Island. You need to get through a thin channel and via the Denali Swing Bridge. You'll see a picture of it here. So to make your way through this small channel, the bridge will lift, you have to pay a fare. So be very careful and listen to me. As you're packing your supplies in Hobart, you need to make sure you have one extra beer. You also need to make sure you have some gold coins, because payment to get through this bridge is a gold coin taped onto the beer. And now, it's not finished yet. The process of payment is just as detailed. When you pass through the now open gate, you need to hold the beer out, and then the person who is there who lifts the bridge holds out a pole with a bucket strapped on the end. You need to, as you sail past, drop the beer into the bucket, and then you've made it through. You can now get access to Maria Island. I just think the whole process is awesome. It's totally hilarious. But John is saying there's confusion around getting access to God, and it is not a laughing matter, because it's not just going to spoil your trip, it's going to spoil your eternity. Have a listen from verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. You see, there are those among them that John writes to, people who claim to be Christian, they're saying they don't need Christ. They're saying they don't need God's Son. They don't need him to get access to God, to get access to the Father. And for us now, we just think, how would you come up with that? How would you get it so, so wrong? Surely Christ is at the heart of Christianity. An authentic biblical Christianity says, along with Jesus, he says these words, we know them, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How can John say they went out from us? How could they get it so wrong? After Jesus in John's gospel can say it so plainly. If you want access to God, if you want access to the Father, it's got to be through the Son. It's got to be through Christ. This is how it happens. One of Jesus' closest mates for a time couldn't get his head around it either. Listen to how Philip actually responds when he heard those words from Jesus. This goes on in John 14. Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father." You see, for Jews like Philip, getting access to the one true God, Yahweh, involved payment. It wasn't just a beer and a coin strapped to it. The Jews knew it wasn't that simple. Throw God a coldy and then head on in. He's going to overlook the torrent of our sin. You see, unlike our culture that's offended or indifferent to the fact that we would need to be forgiven for anything, why would we need that? The Jews knew. They wouldn't be so bold. They wouldn't walk up to God and think they could get access to him. So Jesus comes up saying, "Here's the way to get access to God." And they got absolutely furious. Flip open, if you would, to John. John's Gospel, John chapter 10, verse 24. The Jews gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. You do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." I think this is the kind of stuff that has driven those who went out from their number. Those that John speaks to, they don't want to align themselves anymore with this teaching about Jesus. I mean, how could Jesus, a man, anchor our eternity? Can we really trust Jesus when he says, "No one can snatch them out of my hand"? I mean, really, who does Jesus think he is? God or something? That's exactly what he's saying. And that's exactly what the Christian church and men like Philip and men like Thomas would come to believe. Turn over with me, if you would, to John chapter 20. From verse 24. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. You see, that's why John recorded these things in his gospel, so that they could know the truth and live. These are written so that they might put their anchor into Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, so that they could have confidence to live through his name. Turn back with me to 1 John chapter 2. I think that is why John can be so confident to say in 1 John 2:19, they have never really belonged to us. And also why John can be so confident to label those who have departed as antichrists. You see, as soon as John mentions the antichrist thing, we get images of this and this or this. And yet, the reality could have been very different. Because the Jews that debated Jesus in John 10 and that are now perhaps debating John had impeccable moral lives. They were the champions of morality. They were the heroes. They were top of the class for religious deeds. And so because of their seemingly righteous lives, they expected that they would sail into access with God. You know, like any impeccable sailor, they were hardworking, reliable, diligent, and yet they were charting a very, very different course. They were following a very, very different person. But John says, they want to distance themselves from the Son, they want to deny the Son, and yet they want God. They are liars. They are antichrists. They are without God. John is writing to the Christians that remain within the church, and he's saying to them, don't lose confidence. Just because they went out from us, just because they're so confident about the course they charted, don't get sucked in. Don't get sucked into their lies. They might think they have access to the Father because of some religious pedigree. They might think because of their moral lives, maybe it's because they keep up the sacrificial law. But John pleads with them. He looks at those who remain. He says, these are dangerous waters. These are dangerous days. These are disastrous beliefs. And so he'll go on. He'll go on to remind them what they have heard. He wants them to remain. So let's consider that now. I was staying with some relos from west of the ranges as a teenager down at Lighthouse Beach in Ballina. I'd keenly, sort of 6 months earlier, swapped my boogie board and my childhood for a surfboard. And I was eager to take my cousin out as well, so we grabbed a board for him. It was perfect conditions, sun was shining, swell wasn't too big for novices like us, and we were loving life. We mustn't have been in the water for more than 5-10 minutes before we noticed. We had started to drift, and the drift was quickly becoming a drag. From what had seemed perfect conditions to treacherous conditions as a rip began to pull and pull and pull. And I was no Kelly Slater, and my cousin, he could pack a scrum. He was a land creature, so he's no help either. So by the time we figure out that we're in this drift, it's almost too late. Fortunately, we naively paddle back against the rip into safer waters. But it was amazing, amazing how quickly, in a flick of an eye, things had changed. We needed to keep our eyes, on a prominent landmark so we would have seen the drift so that we could have acted before it's too late. That's what John is urgently trying to tell God's children. He's saying, we know all about those who have pulled up anchor. We know about those who are chartering away from Christ, and it is frightening. But please, please, please be aware of the drift. Don't take your eyes off what you have heard. Make sure you remain in safer waters. Make sure you anchor down and remain in Christ. Have a listen from verse 24. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. You see, John is saying, set your eyes on a key landmark. Actually, set your eyes on the key landmark. Anchor down there. That is the place to anchor. That is the place to remain. And it's what they have heard from the beginning. John has already told them about this at the start of his letter. Do you remember chapter 1, verse 1? That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. What is it? It's Jesus. John is saying, if you don't want to drift, remain in Jesus. If you want the confidence of eternal life, remain in Jesus. If you want to love your brothers and sisters in Christ, remain in Jesus. If you want to be freed from the love of the world, remain in Jesus. If you want to escape the lies of the Antichrist, remain in Jesus. If you want to know what it means to live in the light, remain in Jesus. If you want access to God, remain in Jesus. If you want to be confident that you know the Father, remain in Jesus. That's what John is saying, so that you won't drift, but that you'll anchor down and remain in what you have heard. And you will have access to God. You will have access with the Father. Listen to John continue in verse 24. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. John says, remain in the Son. And unlike those who have cast off from Christ, you will get the Father. But that's not all, verse 25. And this is what he's promised us, even eternal life. You see, this is at the heart of why John is writing this letter. I mean, remember what he told us in his purpose statement in 1 John 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know you have eternal life. John is saying, don't drift from Christ. Believe in him, and you can have the confidence of eternal life. Well, on the cusp of summer, with air temps now warming up, are set to crack, who knows, tomorrow, 38 degrees in Lismore, friends. Maybe 40 tomorrow. So these guys are already ready. They're ready for the long summer ahead. And as it says, they're getting ready to guard lives. They're getting ready to say repeatedly to swimmers, remain. Remain in the flags. Remain where it's safe. And they know at times there are going to be those that are overconfident and they want to head out deliberately away from the safety. They think they're strong enough to resist the rip, and so the lifeguard will have to yell, what are you doing? Get out of there! It's dangerous! And yet there'll be some that unknowingly drift. So the lifeguard will have to say, hey guys, be careful. There's a bit of a tow. And isn't that exactly what John is doing? He's guarding lives. Isn't that what we should be doing too? Now, I'm not saying pull on your Speedos and head off to the local surf club. Really, really, blokes, I'm not. I was there at the water slide and I saw your physique and I saw the body hair and we have some of Australia's best beaches. Let's help the tourism stay. We don't want people running away because of hairy middle-aged men with bulges in the wrong places. But I am saying, get ready to guard lives. I am saying, say repeatedly to people, remain. Remain in Jesus. Remain where it is safe. Get ready to say to those who have unknowingly drifted, hey, be careful. Your work seems to be towing you away. There might even be times that you have to yell. What are you doing? Get out of that relationship. It is dangerous. So John is on guard. He knows there's treacherous waters that surround us. And he certainly doesn't want God's children to be naive. So he urges with them. He pleads with them. He warns them. He says, remain. Remain in what you have heard. Remain in Jesus so that you can remain in the Father and know the confidence of eternal life. As I sat in that boat with my uncle anchored safely in the bay, I knew there was a temptation to want to cast out into the open seas, show my uncle a thing or two. No doubt I'd catch something this big. My uncle wasn't that stupid. He knew the dangers of those waters. But he also knew the treasures that came from remaining. Because as we sat anchored in that bay, the next hour would be the most remarkable fishing experience of my whole life. Time and time again, we would drop in the line and bang, drag out these huge Tasmanian salmons. Again and again and again and again. Deep riches would just flow out of these waters. And that can be our experience too. If we anchor ourselves in Christ, I'm sure there will be people. I'm sure maybe even yourself has said, no, let's cast off. Let's move on from that. You know, we want a bigger and a better spiritual experience. But remind ourselves of the treasure, the deep treasures that come out of Christ. Listen to pastor and author Tim Chester describe the treasure. Remind yourself of Christ's goodness, glory, grace and greatness. Until your heart is warmed again and again by those truths, and Christ is supreme in your heart. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Isn't that what John is saying? Remain in Christ. Don't tire of what you've heard. Listen to Christ's goodness. Listen to his glory, his grace, his greatness. Be warmed again and again and again. Allow Christ to be the treasure of your heart. Remind yourself of the riches that are there. And if you feel your heart drifting from him, don't allow yourself to drift after sinful desires, but stay on course with the Spirit. Isn't that what John says? Allow the Holy Spirit to work in us to affirm these truths, to fill our minds with the truths of God's word. Let the sword of the Spirit, the scalpel, the great scalpel, to cut through the layers of who I am and to expose my heart so that the Spirit affirms these things that are taught and reminds us of the glory of Christ. Surely that's where we need to remain. The husband and wife were leaving the home of some long-term friends from back at school. They now lived in a wealthy part of the city, and the husband had actually given up a promising career that could have brought he and his wife status and wealth and praise. But they'd made the choice some years ago to not allow those things to take over their life. They knew they had a much greater calling. They knew life was more important than fine homes and fine foods. They knew it was more than postcodes and positions. And yet as the husband sat in that car as they left, he could feel the tow. And the tow became a drag as it tried to drag his heart away. And as they pulled out of the drive, he turned to his wife and with remorse in his voice, he said, "We could have had all that." Praise be to God, the wife would not allow herself to be caught also, to be stuck in that drag and towed away. So with tears in her eyes, she said, we have Christ. We must be vigilant. Because even as this couple, they had heard it. They had heard it time and time again, the truths that John taught. They'd been taught the truths regarding Christ. They knew he needed to be the anchor of their lives. They knew they needed to remain in him. And yet then, even then, they felt the drag on his heart. So we must not let ourselves be dragged away either. We must stop ourselves from saying, that could never be me. Because if you say those words, you yourself are now even beginning to drift. Because we mustn't boast. We mustn't boast in our moral effort or make some claim to how righteous our lives are. We are beggars. We boast in the righteous one who died the death that we deserve. We never stand confidently in our own merit, but we confidently stand. We anchor ourselves to Christ and his merit. John wrote to his dear children. He pleads with them, don't be disheartened by those who have cast off from Christ. While at the same time he warns them. He warns them, don't drift. Don't drift from Christ. Remain in him. Be directed by the Spirit's conviction. Know that so you can be confident, so that you can know you have access to the Father, and confident that you can know you can have eternal life with him. Well, let's pray. Let's talk to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you. We want to thank you for Christ, that he is the anchor that keeps us safe. That he is the anchor that connects us to you. That his death is the anchor that guarantees our eternity. But we are sorry for the times that we drift. For the times we do that knowingly, relying on our own strength. We're drawn away by distorted desires. And also for the times we've let our hearts drift. Drifting after other things rather than relishing the glories of Christ. So, Father, this morning, please do help us. Please help us to be aware of the constant tows that surround our lives. May we be vigilant. May we guard our dear brothers and sisters, alerting them to times when they have begun to drift, and yet bearing with them when they would not heed our warnings. So, Father, in those moments, please protect us. Please protect us and our hearts from thinking we are better than them. Help us not to stand in our merit, but to wonder on your Son, who anchors our soul and allows us to rest securely in you. In Jesus' name, amen.